Glad you all be out with us tonight, or see this morning. This is morning time now, so glad you can be with us this morning, and welcome everyone. I don't think I see any visitors, but glad you're all here. Just got a few announcements. The prayer service we have on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock is going to be canceled this coming week. There'll be no Awana tonight. We're going to have choir practice this coming Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So some of the other announcements are on the back, but after this coming Wednesday, everything should be on schedule as far as how it's flowed before. We've had a busy season, so we'll, after this Wednesday, everything will be right on track. All the Awanas and everything will be like it's supposed to be. So, let's get going with our service. Sleeping. this is the last Sunday of this year. It's been a good year here at Thomas Village. And with that, we'll have a word of prayer before our service. Well, bow with me, please. Father God, let's once again just pause and reflect on the year that you provided for us here at this church and in our lives. May we just reflect on all the goodness and mercies and blessings you provided for us. And we're excited this new coming year that you'll be with us. And we'll even have even more fruit and bounties that be with the preacher as he brings the message that you've laid up on his heart today. And be with all those who are sick and just could not be here today for various reasons. And once again, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, may this be the day that you touch your heart and that they come forward and they realize that you're the only way that they can come to be with you in heaven. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Off toward him, we'll sing number 366. Stand one more time if you're able.
366.
Come to you together today, Father, celebrating the end of 2019, a very trying year for this church. Many wonderful times and many trying times. Father, we are grateful today for your guidance and love through that year. And we ask, Father, for your continued guidance and care in 2020. Father, we ask your blessings on this offering and for the wisdom to put it to your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
count. Don't count. You cheated. You cheated. You cut out a song. You cut out a song. Good morning. It's good to see all of you today. So thankful that you've taken the time, whatever the English correct statement is. Glad you're here. How about that? That's a whole lot better. Glad you're here. I pray that you've had a good Christmas, you were at least able to celebrate the meaning of Christmas, and that you stopped sometime on the 25th to recognize the true meaning, and that is Christ. Maybe you got along by yourself and read the Christmas story, or the Christmas account. Maybe you read it with your family. But I just pray that you took some time and got along with the Lord. This morning we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 22. The book of Luke, chapter 22. This is the last Sunday of 2019, and we'll be in 2020 next year. Ain't that weird? That is very weird. 2020. I remember when it passed over to 2000. And now it's been 20 years from then. Time rolls on. It gets faster and faster. But as you're turning to Luke chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 7. Do we have any words of praise, any words of testimony today that you would like to render to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. Anyone else this morning with a word of praise or testimony? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else today? Amen, sister. Thank you very much. Anyone else as we turn to Luke chapter 22? It has been a blessed year, but also a trying year. I mean, God has blessed our church, but we've also dealt with the loss of loved ones. Situations have come up, and you can look back on it, and it's a mixed bag. And I think that's the way life is sometimes. You've got the highs and you've got the lows, and the blessings and the hard times. And so as we consider this year, I pray that we'll trust in the Lord as we look into 2020. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you would, in the honor of God's Word. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be In Remembrance. In Remembrance. And we'll begin in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 7. Luke 22, beginning in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, The cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. In remembrance, you may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your many blessings. I thank You just for this week and all that's come and gone. Heavenly Father, Lord, some have said goodbye to loved ones. Others have welcomed in new loved ones. But God, in the midst of it all, God, we know that You are in control. And Lord, You're capable of keeping us and securing us. And so I thank You for that. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to be in the midst of our service today. God, that You give us wisdom and understanding as You forgive us of our sins as we preach, and that we may take what we learned today and use it for Your glory. I pray for those that are traveling, aren't here with us. Pray for those that are sick as we think of Brother Tommy and Sister Wanda and Brother Otis, Lord. We pray for those also that's watching us by Facebook today. But Lord, over the next few moments, again, let our minds and hearts be focused on You, and we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, I pray that you had a blessed and wonderful Christmas. I pray that you took some time and to think about and consider the sacrifice that Jesus made as He left the heavenly realm. And the Bible says specifically this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, talking about Jesus stepping down from His throne, that He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, that He emptied Himself. He let go of who He was as the Eternal One. And in doing that, He was willingly became the servant. And I want you to think about this. We become mindful sometimes that He was our servant. But the reason and the purpose that Christ came was to be obedient to the Father and to bring glory to the Father. That is His number one thing. Everything that He did to glorify the Father. And a part of glorifying the Father was dying for you and I, bringing that relationship back. But let's never get it construed that Jesus came just because of us. He came on our behalf, but He did it in willingness and obedience to the Father. And we, as those that have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is what we're supposed to do as well. We are to be obedient to the Father. And in that, we glorify and acknowledge Him just as Jesus did in the obedience and the servitude that He had with the Father. But over the past month of December at Thomas Village, we tried to be certain that we focused on the true meaning of Christmas. And that being the idea of a mass, a term for public celebration and worship by the followers of Jesus Christ. And then around Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the expectant one. If you'll remember, for the past few weeks we've had cantatas and plays, the sermon that we've preached, we've tried to help focus on the things of God, trying to use the decorations around us to bring glory to Christ Jesus, trying to be mindful of the promised one, how that He is the fulfillment of our hopes and desires in Christ Jesus. But while the day, December the 25th, has passed, the day that we recognize and celebrate His birth, we're still in the season of Christmas. We're still in December. And today, Lord willing, we're going to celebrate and remember Christ Jesus. Not only the birth of Him, but the fulfillment. When He came, He came. The Bible says, before the foundations of the earth, His death, burial, and resurrection, His sacrifice was already determined. And so Him being born was just a step into the fulfillment of the Father's will and the reconciliation of creation to their Creator. Being raised as a pastor's son, and you've heard me, this is one of my pet peeves, I guess. Being raised as a pastor's son and then serving as a pastor for most of my adult life, I've noticed that as Baptists, and I believe it's completely unintentional, but we have a habit of tacking on the Lord's Supper at the end of a service. I don't think it's what we do it intentionally, but I think we do it in ritual most of the time. We don't do it in sincerity. We don't recognize. Really, I think most people don't even understand all that is involved with it. If you notice here, I want you to think about this. Think about how we do the Lord's Supper right now. Basically, it's a 5 to 10 minute portion placed on at the end of a service. the early church based whole services and meals around the Lord's Supper. They came together and celebrated. It was a feast. It was a celebration. It just wasn't eating a cracker and drinking a small thimbleful of juice. They focused on it. And in that line, I think today that as we come around the Lord's table, we are to come around His table in remembrance of Him and recognizing what it's all about. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, "And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance or in memory of Me." Remembrance. The Dictionary of Biblical Languages says, simply defines it as a reminder. But if you look into Webster's, it says a state and time of recalling while bearing in mind. A state and time where we recall something and we bear it in mind, or we hold it in our mind for a while. And it goes on to simply say in the Webster's, memory. Memory. Memories are valuable to us as individuals. Our memories are a gift from our Creator. They connect us with people, places, and events which have influenced us, and they've also helped shape our lives. Some of our memories we wish we could forget. But in those difficult memories, we have learned valuable lessons. We've built perseverance and integrity. And we've also been able to see the faithfulness of our Creator, even in those difficult memories. Then there are those memories we wish we could relive. Those memories that bring us joy, that make us happy, they bring us peace when we think about them. And if sometimes we would like to go back and relive them again. We can't do that, but praise God, we have the memory of those times. In Jesus Christ, this is what He said. And we've got to think about this. This memory that Jesus is telling them to hold fast to, it's not going to always be a joyful memory for them. Remember, Peter is fixing to deny Him. In the lowest of times, he's going to walk away from Jesus. Jesus, the one that they have dedicated their life to, is going to be beaten, spat upon, mocked. Have a crown of thorns pushed into His head. Then He'll be hit with the reed on top of His head continuously. And then He'll lay His life down on the cross, and they'll puncture His hands and His feet with stakes. And then ultimately they'll drive a spear into His side. Now see, all of these memories that were there, they're not beautiful memories. They're bloody memories. But in those memories, Jesus said, hold fast to these memories. They're going to also remember when they go to the tomb. And they see that He's not there. They're going to remember the Sunday night when He come in and didn't have to open the door. You see, just like our life, there's good memories, beautiful memories. But there's difficult memories. And today as we come to the table, Jesus Christ said, when we do this, it is in memory of Him. It is a memorial, you might say. And so we're to take time to recall and to bear in mind what this Lord's Supper is all about. Well, I've got 3 points I want to go through. And the first one is this. As we gather around this Lord's table, we do it in remembrance of history and as a celebration of the future. Look there in verses 7 and 8. It's 7 and 8 of Luke 22. It says, "Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." And if you jump down to verses 16 through 18, it goes on to say, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. As we gather around the throne, or as we gather around the table, we gather in remembrance of the Passover. We gather in remembrance of the Passover. Now, I'm not going to go to Exodus chapter 12, but if you go to Exodus chapter 12, you'll read of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or the Passover. And it is the last actions carried out by God as He delivers the slave nation, His nation, Israel, from the control and the abuse of the Egyptians. Basically, this is the last plague that's going to fall. And in this plague, God gives an instructions to the people. He says the Israelites are to take the lamb or a goat, a lamb or a goat that has no flaw or physical defect. And listen, they're to take this lamb or they're to take this goat into their home, into their abiding. And every home was to have one. If they couldn't, if they didn't have enough money, they were to go together with their neighbor and gather in one home. And for about so many days, probably 14 or 15 days, they cared for that lamb. They fed that lamb. They tended that lamb. Basically, it was almost like a pet. It became a part of the family. And then on a certain day, they were to slaughter that lamb. They were to kill that precious lamb without flaw, without defect. They were to drain its blood. And they were to take that blood and they were to apply that blood upon the doorpost. Then they were to take the meat and cook the meat. And they would eat that meat. That night the Lord would come. And specifically, we want to say the death angel sometimes, but the Lord says, I will pass by. If you look over there in the book of Exodus chapter 12, He says, I will pass by. And He says, this blood on the doorpost, it will be a memorial. That's what He says. It will be as a memory towards me. Because when I see that blood, and as you ingest that food, it will be a reminder that I, when I passed by, saw the blood, and I did not kill the firstborn. But if the blood was not applied to the doorpost, then the firstborn would die. But also it would go down to like the livestock, the firstborn of the livestock. It was a curse that would fall on them. But you see, it said it was in remembrance, because what we see here is that when God passed that way, judgment and wrath was going to fall one way or another. If you did not sacrifice the lamb, then the judgment of God was going to fall on the firstborn. And he died. But if you had the lamb, and you put the blood on it, then the judgment and the wrath of God was passed on to that lamb. And he passed over because the blood had been applied. You see, there is a picture, a beautiful picture there. And it is a memorial. And see, then that became a part of Jewish tradition, part of Jewish heritage, because they were reminded, praise God, the blood that was shed and applied was a covering for their sins. The meat of that lamb became part of them and gave them energy and life as they lived. And it was also a promise of the deliverance, how God had brought them through. So when we gather today, we gather with those of the Old Testament. And we remember the historical account of the Passover meal, or the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. But now, we're at this supper. We're here with Jesus and the apostles. And Jesus, what Jesus does is He takes an old symbol, the Passover, and He applies a new purpose to it. Today's as followers of Jesus Christ, just as the Israelites were reminded and celebrated. Now, we as Christians celebrate the significance of Christ Jesus' life, ministry, obedience, death, burial, and resurrections. We look back and we look upon who Jesus was, why He came, what He did in His ministry, how He loved, how He never sinned, how He laid His life down. But we also look ahead to the future. We call it a memorial for the future. Luke 22, verses 16 through 18. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now we've seen how the Passover was a memorial to Israel past. We've discussed how Jesus Christ, in establishing the Lord's Supper, took the old and established something new in the midst of it. Now let's consider the purpose for Jesus in abstaining from the memorial feast. Jesus says right here, now listen, He says, He tells them, He's already said it, as long as you do this, it is a memorial, or it is a memory. It is a taking of heart and mind in yourself, and it is a declaration of what Christ Jesus has done. Amen? That's what He said. This do in remembrance of Me. We have it carved in the front of our table here. But He says also at the same time, while you partake of it, I will abstain from it. Now, that's kind of weird. So why? Why would Jesus say, you eat of it. You partake in it. You recognize Me. But I'm going to wait until everything comes to reality. Revelations 19, verses 6 through 9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many angels and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord God. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. And it was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Praise God, the Bible teaches us that when Jesus died, He died for who? He died for the church. All of those, whosoever would come and accept Him as Lord and Savior. And you know what? When He comes back, praise God, He's coming back for me as an individual. But globally, He is coming back for His church. Those that are in Him. And the Bible says that He is our groom. He is going to make ready a place for us that we can live and abide with Him. And when the time is right, He's coming back. And you know what He said? I'm going to give My bride, but you know what? I'm not going to eat without her. I'm going to wait until I'm with her, until the relationship is consummated. And while they're remembering Me, I'm abstaining for them. And when we come together, we're going to enjoy the marriage feast together. And so today, as we gather around this table, we look ahead to the bride, the groom coming and getting us and carrying us to the marriage feast. And it says that it was granted to us. Listen, it was granted to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't have anything that could afford it, but we were dressed in fine linen and white. We are a pure bride to Him. Praise God. And we're looking forward to that. Praise God. We're forgiven of our sins today. You see, when we come around this table, it's not just a cracker and a cup. It's not just something that we do because we're members of this church. It's something that we do recognizing our Lord and Savior. Recognizing the history as we remember. But also as a memorial to the future as we look ahead. Number two, we come to this table and we remember, or we come in remembrance of redemption. We come to this table in remembrance of redemption. And you remember the word redeem, or the word redemption means to buy back or to purchase back, to lay claim upon, to lay hold of, legally. Luke chapter 22 verses 19 and 20. And He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is My body which was given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. which is shed for you. We just discussed the spotless lamb of the Passover, whose blood served as a covering for all that lived in that house. That when when God Himself and our Lord would pass over, as long as the blood was there, then it was the substitute for the death of the firstborn. But listen to what we're told about Jesus in John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day He saw Jesus coming towards Him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." And then just a few more verses down, John 1, 35 through 36, the next day again, John was standing with the two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Just as the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12 served as a substitute for the firstborn, served as the covering and the substitute instead of the firstborn, back in Exodus chapter 2, experiencing God's judgment and death, it was passed over to the Lamb, and the Lamb took it on Himself. They took part and they ate of that Lamb that died. As they took it, it provided physical life in their physical being. And then we see the blood that was placed upon the doorpost. It was a covering for the sins of that home, for the sins that they had committed, for the wrongs that they had done. And as long as that blood was there, then the covering was there and the wrath of God and the judgment of God passed by. Now today, as we come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to the table of the Lamb of God, the Lamb that came to save. In Luke chapter 19 verse 10 it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." Instead of you and I having to suffer the punishment for sin and the wrath of God with eternal separation, Jesus Christ came and He was the substitute Lamb. And today, whosoever life the blood of Jesus has been spread upon, the firstborn, the only begotten, He took the suffering and it was passed over on us as long as the blood is upon our life. Now I'm going to tell you, you can come to this table excited. You can come to this table happy. Matter of fact, if you don't, something's wrong. Your wood's wet, or you're doused and dying and going to hell. Or maybe you're backslidden. Or maybe you're just a Baptist. But listen, not only that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 it says, "For our sakes, Jesus the Lamb was made to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God." As we come to this table and we remember that the Israelites partook of that flesh, they ate of that lamb. They didn't let that lamb go to waste, but they ate of it. And in the physical realm, it provided nourishment to their body. You see, they had a long journey ahead of them. They were told to be ready, to be prepared there in chapter 12. And it gave them energy and it provided them life in their physical realm. Today, as we come to this table, we receive the broken body of Christ in the form of a cracker. But in the spiritual realm, we recognize that that body of Jesus Christ was broken for us. And as we receive it in the spiritual realm, it provides us eternal life, everlasting life, so that we don't have to just look to this life, but we have the best life ahead of us as we go on to glory land. John 6 verses 33 through 35, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to Him, "Sir, give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall not thirst." It also goes on to say that this was a hard saying. This was hard preaching from Jesus. And at this time, many walked away from Him. Today, let me ask you this. As we come to the table, do you truly recognize and understand and receive that He was the sacrificial Lamb for your behalf? Do you recognize and understand that when His body was broken, it was broken for us to have eternal life? Because without His body being broken, there is no eternal life for no man. And then we look at the blood in the cup. His blood, it's not only, remember in the Old Testament, it was a covering for that house. It covered in the judgment. And because of that covering, the wrath and the judgment of God passed by. But you see, the blood of Jesus, when it's applied to our life, not only is it a covering, but praise God, it also cleanses every stain of sin that was left there. See, that's why the church is able to wear that white robe, because the blood purifies the linen. And every dirt, filth that we had in ourselves, God washes it away so we can be presented pure as the bride of Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 25. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and are justified by His gift of grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as the propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. You see, the writer there in Romans links it back over to Exodus as the God passed over the houses with the blood. We see here that God passes over us who have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life. As we come to this Lord's Supper, it is a physical declaration of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. In it we see the payment for our sins. We see the cleansing from our sins. We see the purchase of the individual by the Savior. And we see the establishment of eternal life. And all that can be said there is glory, hallelujah, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this today. Praise God, you may have heard the gospel, but now is the opportunity for you to receive the gospel. You have made, the reality of being a sinner may not have struck you at heart yet. The reality of the fact that when you die, if you without Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. And you've earned it. I've earned it. But that doesn't have to be the reality when you leave here today. Because right now you can come. And you can accept Jesus Christ. This gospel is for whosoever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I tell you right now, if you've even got the inkling of a pull in your heart, I wish and I hope and I ask you to come forward right now, and we'll get you with somebody that will show you what it means to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. But praise God, lastly, we come in remembrance of history and as a memorial to the future. We come to this table in remembrance of redemption. But lastly, we come to this table in remembrance of the personal importance of this table. Look there in verses 14 and 15. And when the hour was come, He sat down with the 12 apostles with Him. And He said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Verse 19 through 20. I've already read this, but I'm going to read it again. And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it. And He gave unto them, saying, this is My body which is broken for you. This is due in remembrance of Me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament. It's the new contract in My own blood, which is shed for you. Now I want you to look at these. That's four verses. 14, 15, 19, and 20. In those four verses, the personal pronoun you, Y-O-U, is used three times. Now I hated English as a boy. And I don't understand why in the world anybody would ever want to be an English teacher. But praise God, I remembered what a personal pronoun is. A personal pronoun is basically a short reference to a specific person. Instead of saying the whole name, instead of saying John, Luke, Matthew, Timothy, all y'all, He just says, instead of calling their name, He says you. But I want you to notice something else. He says, three times in four verses, the reference is to who? You. And I want you to notice what He else says. In verse 14, with desire I have desired. With desire. I have desired to eat this Passover meal with you. I looked up the term desire, and it simply means that Jesus declared to you, to all those there, and today to all those who follow Him, He says, I have had a great longing and desire to be with you at my table. Glory, hallelujah. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has invited us to His table. He could invite anybody He wants. And He can make anybody in this world come and sit down at His table. But today in His Word, He specifically says, you, I have wanted to sit at this table today. Praise God, as we come to this table, we need to recognize the awesomeness of the invitation to this table. We need to recognize who we were before we were invited to this table. Romans, listen to, and we like to sugarcoat who we were before salvation. We forget who we were. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm reminded every day how much more I need Jesus now. I didn't even understand before I was saved how much I needed Him. But I recognize how much more I fall short now. But listen to how we're described before Christ enters our life in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. As it is written, none is right with God. No, not one. No one understands. No one even seeks God. All have turned aside and together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave and they use their tongues to deceive. There is venom of asp on their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their path is ruin and misery. And the way of peace they don't know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Do you realize He said that before we came to Christ, we were of no worth. That our lives were filled with ruin. We had bitterness in our tongue and poison on our lips. And none of us sought after God. We didn't recognize God and we don't fear God. That's who we were before the invitation to this table. But not only that, we need to remember what our future destination was as well. Revelations 20:14 through 15. Then death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name is not found in the book of life, he or she was thrown into the lake of fire. A while ago I said that we have earned death, hell, and the grave. You say, Brian, what do you mean by that? Right now, if you go out and you break into a bank, if you go above the speed limit, if you hurt someone, you have broken the law. You have went past what is right in the eyes of our government. And in doing that, you incur or bring upon yourself judgment and punishment. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all told lies. We've all rebelled against our Creator. We've all rejected His plan. God doesn't send us to hell. We are sinners and we've chosen to sin. And in that sin, we like to sin. We like to put ourselves first. We like to do what we want to do instead of doing what God would have us to do. And in doing that, we brought on ourselves the wrath and judgment of God and eternal damnation and separation from Him in hell. That's who it is. Now, that ain't easy to swallow neither. Because we don't want to see ourselves as harlots, drug addicts, addicted to alcohol. We want to see ourselves as soft sinners. We just told white lies. We just cheated on our taxes. We didn't break in. Bible says all of us have sinned. And as sinners, we're deserving of the punishment of God. But then we ought to remember, as we come to this table, We need to remember the drawing of the Father and the calling of the Holy Ghost. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that period where you just couldn't be satisfied with who you were anymore? You looked at yourself in the mirror and you hated yourself. You hated what you'd done. There was no purpose or future in your life. And then you felt that call and that draw from God and the calling of the Holy Spirit. Listen, John 6:44, it says, "No man comes to me except the Father that has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day." In John 15:27, "But when the Comforter is come," or the Holy Ghost is come, "whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth of the Father, he shall testify of me." You looked at yourself, you recognized that there was no value or worth in yourself, but then the Holy Spirit cried out the name Jesus. Jesus, one that loved you more than he loved his own life. One that was willing to step from the bounds of heaven, robe himself in dirt, and live a life and die so that you could have eternal life in a place with him. Praise God, we remember who we were before Christ. We remember our destination before Christ. But we also remember the call of the Father and the draw of the Father and the call of the Holy Spirit. And then also, lastly, we need to recognize the change that Jesus has brought to our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Praise God, when Jesus comes in, he brings a new life. He makes a new person. He brings us new thoughts, and he provides with us a new way of living. If there is not a new way of living in our life, we may not need to be coming to this table. If there's not a new person dwelling inside of this old physical being, if all we've done is clean up the old one, put a little better clothes on him, learn how to say the religious terms and phrases, if all that's happened is a cleaning up instead of a cleansing and a changing, then there's not a place for you at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now I'm going to ask the deacons if they would to come forward. We're moving into the time where we're going to gather around the table of Jesus. As Baptists, we hold two ordinances as special. They're established as a ceremonial practice, and we hold them dear. The first one of that is public baptism. You ain't saved by being baptized. It is a demonstration of the grace that has come in salvation. And the second one is the Lord's Supper. I've tried to bring to you today as the specialness and why we remember, and why we come to this table. But as pastor, I'm responsible to remind you of a few things. Number one, I want you to know this. At Thomas Village Baptist Church, we practice what is known open communion. You don't have to be a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church to come around this table, because this is not our table to invite you to. This is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all we ask today is that you know, that you know, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have repented of your sins, you have heard the call of the Father, and that you have become new in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe at this moment you're not a Christian. Maybe you think so. Maybe you've went through it, but you're just not sure. Where you can know right now. If you're not sure, I ask you to come forward right now. Meet with one of our deacons. They would love to show you what the Bible says about nailing down your salvation. Let me ask you this right now. Right now. Bow your heads with me. I don't do this, but I'm going to ask you right now. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you died today, you know that Jesus would accept you into His kingdom. Raise your hand. All right, put them down. Right now, it's kindly a 50-50. Maybe, maybe not. I'm just not quite sure. Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to come to you. Maybe it's today. You know, if I died right now, I'm going to bust hell wide open. Would you raise your hand today? Anyone? All right. You lift your heads up. Then the third thing is this. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, provides a clear warning to those that would come to the Lord's table. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. So when whoever eats the Lord's bread or drinks from the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, they will be guilty of the sin against the blood and the body of the Lord. Let every person examine themselves in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body, eats and drinks judgment on themselves. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and some have even fallen asleep, meaning that some have died because they did not recognize the awesomeness of this table. If we were properly judging ourselves, we would not be judged by the Lord. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned with the world. I'm going to ask Sister Nancy, if she would, to come to the piano. Before we come to this table, the Bible says we're not to come to it unworthily. Now, I want you to recognize there's nothing that we have done or could do to make ourselves acceptable to this table. Jesus Christ has invited us to this table, and He makes us worthy. But when He talks about unworthily, what He's talking about is not recognizing and valuing the body, blood, and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is represented at His table. How do we not recognize it? Well, number one, we have known sin in our life. But instead of dealing with that sin and confessing it, we just come to the table and bring that sin with us. Does that mean you're going to have victory over it the rest of your life? No. But as you come to the table, we do our best to be pure and one with Him. Maybe God has called you to be a member of this church. Maybe God has called you to be a Sunday school teacher, a visitation partner. And you've said, not right now, not at this time, or maybe no. What you have done is you have rejected and rebelled against your Creator, but also your Savior. Brian, what do? You come up here and you say, Lord God, I'm sorry. And the next time you call, the next time you say do, I will do. And then thirdly is this. We don't recognize the bond that He has placed, not only us with Him, but between us and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. To come to this table with anger and resentment in your heart for another is wrong. Don't bring hatred. Don't bring resentment for a brother or sister in Christ to this table. Because see, He died to give us peace with us and the Creator, but also peace with one another. So right now, as Sister plays, I'm going to invite you to come and do a time of inspection. Search and see, like David said, see if there be any wicked way in me and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Maybe you need to confess sin. Maybe you need to come and join this church. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I'm willing when you call. Or maybe you need to go to somebody and say, I know we've had misunderstandings and it needs to work out, but I want you to know in this moment I love you and I want us to be right in the eyes of God. You don't got to go into nothing deep, but to make it right. So as we stand right now, the altar is open. If you need to be saved, you come on, or come and do your business along with the Lord Jesus Christ. But won't you come? The altar is open. And you might be the one that breaks loose. You might be the one that makes it acceptable for another one to come. Right now, something in your mind might be saying, if I go, they're going to think I got this in my life. If I go, I might do this. Well, you remember a while ago, we just sung a song that says, as I fall down on my knees with my face to the rising sun. When's the last time you've fallen on your knees and just lifted up in your hands and says, you're worthy. You're worthy. All right. Thank you, Sister Nancy. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, right now, I thank you for this time. I thank you for those who are gathered, and I thank you for your sweet spirit in this place. But Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and be the mediator today. As we come to the table of Jesus, let us come with a joyful heart, a thankful heart, recognizing the awesomeness of being at this table. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. My son wanted to know, was it Lord's Supper or was I doing another illustration covered up here? Or he alluded to it. Again, you don't have to be a member of Thomas Village to join at this table. The bread, the beaten and broken, sinless body of the God-man, Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24, we're told that I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had gave thanks, He broke it and said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance or as a memorial to me. Brother Paul, would you lead us in a word of prayer blessing the body of Christ.
Heavenly Father, Jesus, we do thank you for the great sacrifice you gave for us, allowing yourself to be crushed and to be squeezed out and life to be taken away. The great Father, we thank you and we praise you for all you've done. You are a Savior. You are. We just thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. John 6, verse 51, Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The body of Christ Jesus, beaten for my rebellion and broken for my forgiveness. Let us eat. The cup of the new covenant in Christ's blood. 1 Corinthians 11, 25 says, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Brother Roy, would you ask the blessing over the cup? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And as we read in Luke 22:19, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Today we remember the promise of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we recognize the miraculous work in the covenant of the cup. Let us drink. Mark 14:26 said, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me. And I think the page number is 387.